We're back at it here at the Weekly Pass, speaking about NHL awards, NBA awards, everything, all awards, right? And we got the NBA draft, all that and more on the Bonnie Joe Laughlin Weekly Pass.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm a champion. Check the numbers. I'm a champion. Can't sleep
on
the
boy anymore. Yeah, Logic in the house.
Who's this, Logic?
Yeah,
Logic.
So good.
Go check him out. Go look him up. You'll like it.
These two are like into like
you like it.
I'm always,
trust me.
Who is this?
Yes, Logic.
Hala. Good
Welcome
route.
Back to the Weekly Pass. I'm Bonnie Jill Laughlin, and we are back. Sorry I missed last week. I was sick, and I'm still a little out of the weather, but I'm so glad my fabulous co-hosts were able to take over, and you guys had a good time.
We had a lot
to talk about.
So much to talk about this week, but we missed you last week.
Yeah.
But we were like two little baby deers without our mama.
But it was good. I thought you did great. I was in bed watching y'all, and aww, it was fantastic. And you went to the NHL Awards.
I did.
Talk us, you know, through all of that, because, you know, some people may not know. You know, NBA Awards just happened last night as well. What, you know, instead, you know, of just doing the ESPY Awards, now each sport is kind of doing their own type of awards to celebrate, you know, Rookie of the Year, MVP,
right,
and kind of, you know, having their own platform.
Exactly. Yeah. I went to Vegas last Wednesday and was able to just take in the entire event. I had the honor of interviewing Ovi. Oh, my goodness.
How excited were you?
Okay, so how this went down really quick.
Yeah, because tell people, when you're on a red carpet, isn't like they're going to stop at every single person. You have to be like calling their name out. You almost are like kind of like a weird stalker.
Yes, okay, so we were, thank God, we were third on, like, this was a huge, huge red carpet. I mean, it was a huge L. It was long. So we were the third outlet. It was NHL Network and then Washington.
Oh, you had a good position.
Great position. So NBC Washington was right next to us. Well, of course, Ovi was talking to, there's Kobe. Ovi was talking to Washington.
Right.
So his publicist was standing next to me. And I was like, hey, do you mind? And I just kind of like peppered that a little bit.
Yeah.
And he was incredible and was able to kind of usher Ovi to me after did Washington. And he was so
generous.
You don't
want to be at the end of the press line because the guys start getting annoyed and they just want to walk through.
Well, he was
one. You know, they don't care.
Absolutely. Our outlet was one of three that he spoke with. So that was just enormous. And I was not able to talk to him about anything coaching related. So the Barry Trotz situation, none of that. So that kind of was stinky because I wanted to ask him, how is the momentum going to shift? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, with now losing your head coach and you now have this momentum of the Stanley Cup, how are you guys going to prepare this summer? I wasn't allowed to ask any of that. So I asked him what he was going to do with the cup. He gets 2 days with it, which is kind of
nice. What is he doing?
He's actually going to take it to let his mom enjoy, which I thought was so cute.
Oh, wow, that's not what I expected. That's cute.
I know. So you guys can catch the interviews on my YouTube page, and also, I mean, they're all over the place. But he was incredible. I got to interview Kobe. And
who else was there that would be, I don't know, anyone else that's notable? And maybe it's people that snubbed and didn't go.
Of course. Andrei Kopitar, Jonathan Quick was there, but he did not walk the carpet. So Jonathan Quick won the award for fewest goals against. So that was pretty amazing. There's Patrice Bergeron from the Bruins, an incredible player.
Open your eyes.
I know, right? I look at his wife in the background. She does not look happy.
Oh, she looks so mad.
But the other thing, too, is, you know, these wives that came with them just look like they want to be anywhere but there. But Ovi's wife was just adorable. But Taylor Hall.
Oh, she's pretty.
Yeah, that's his six-month girlfriend. He was so cute. He's like, I've been with her for 6 months. He talked more about her than his award. It was adorable. But Taylor Hall won his Hart Most Valuable Player Award. So he was stellar. Victor Hedman was there. Oh my gosh, you guys, so many. Pekka Rinne was there. Derek Englund was there. There's me with Jason Zucker from the Minnesota Wild. They actually posted it on their Instagram, so that was kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we had such a good time. I was able to talk to literally everyone.
Did you get everyone?
Yes, Pekka Rinne was the only one. I'm bummed about that because he was the Vezina Trophy winner.
Right.
But everyone was so gracious. And it's funny because we watch these players and they're fierce on the ice. They're just devils. And they were so polite, so gentlemanly. Generous with, you know, my questions, and it just was really wonderful. But Vegas, the thing of the evening was Vegas. Vegas, Vegas, Vegas won Best GM. The Jack Adams Coach of the War, Coach of the Year Award went to Gerard. And then, oh my gosh, so this was one of my favorite things. The Mark Messier Leadership Award is for essentially a player that exemplifies leadership on and off the ice. Well, Derek Englund from the Vegas Golden Knights won.
Okay.
He's the first player that has never worn the C And let's remember, too, that Vegas does not have a captain. So we're possibly looking at the birth of the Vegas Golden Knights' new captain. Okay. So that was a really cool moment of the night. But, yeah, it was all about Vegas, obviously.
Did all the Golden Knights show up just because it was in Vegas?
Several of them did. Actually, yeah. The only people that really walked the carpet were the nominees, which was interesting. Okay. We did have a couple celebrities, Wonder Woman, Linda, I don't know her last name.
Oh, but I thought you were going to say Gal Gadot. I'm all obsessed with her.
No,
I'm like, that's
the
huge.
Original Wonder Woman was there. Yeah. I got to interview her. And then Jeff Belushi, who was quite tipsy, so that was not my best interview, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, he was a little interesting. But yeah, we've got...
Did they do a Lifetime Achievement Award or any kind of awards for people who do things off the ice that are, you know, in community service? Because that's what the NBA does as
they,
well, which they I
do,
think is very
they do.
Oh,
and also the... Man, I'm sorry. My heart's just like beating because the Humboldt Broncos, the survivors were there.
They were there. And then they put them up on the stage.
Yes. And so many of the players.
With the NHL players
as
well.
Yes. Yes. And that was just such a story of the night. But they actually came on the carpet and my hands were just like shaking.
They did go on the carpet.
You're just looking at this team and their coach won the community leader award. Okay. I mean, there's just, they were giving back and all the players were acknowledging them when they won their awards.
That just makes the night. Just that.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not see that and see that team, see the survivors, and just not feel like life is just so precious and look at what they're doing
to give
back.
That's nice that the NHL extended that invite to them.
Yes, yes, yes.
And
so,
honored them.
Yeah, really powerful night. Great interviews, great time. Just like I said, just really generous with, you know, their time. You know what I mean? Like most, I feel like when you're on red carpets, they want to just get through and their publicists want to get them through. I was able to talk to PK Subban, who just... actually was honored with the cover of the 2019 NHL
nice
game. Yeah. So that was pretty amazing. PK was funny. But yeah, you know, just we could play a little snippet of the award here and see if we can get a piece.
Nice to meet you, Becky from TV. Pleasure. Congratulations.
He was so wonderful.
Sobbing. 44 years watching you raise that cup was just the most unbelievable moment. Now we can
shout out to his publicist
in
the background.
Enjoy
there.
Tonight. Now, what are you going to do with your cup on your day? Everybody's dying to know.
It's a good thing I have a 2 days.
And 2 days is unheard of also, you guys. Usually you get 1 day as a player.
So get back home,
he deserves to.
I will know the plan. I will know.
So serious.
That's the thing. Almost all of them, when you watch these interviews, the players were just so subdued. And you're used to seeing them with just so much passion and fire.
So close together. How do you take the momentum of this into next season? I know you're going to be enjoying it this summer, but how do you step up your game next season after winning the Stanley Cup finally?
Yeah, I think Osh said it's back to back, you know, and
I wish I was able to ask him
about
that question.
When you feel the champion,
yeah, because I want to know. That's a huge shakeup, and then also, you know, we know that he's been traded now, or he's now with the Islanders, which is going to be huge because the Islanders are on par to be doing some good things, and then Matthew won the rookie of the year there, the Calder Trophy. I think that we have a picture of that somewhere. But, yeah, there's just so much happening with the Islanders. I can't wait to see what happens with them.
How many years have they been doing the NHL Awards? Because for the NBA, this is only the second
season. Yeah,
they've done
2 years of the NBA Awards.
Yeah. No, this is – it's fairly new. I'll have to look that up. But, yeah, this hasn't been around for a long time, so –
Now fans get to come to this?
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
So they had a huge...
Okay, so that's different than NBA,
NBA
or NHL
awards.
Honors.
Oh, my gosh.
Private.
Yeah, and NHL honors
this
as well as
huge
private.
Huge fan red carpet. So basically the way it laid out is they did the red carpet with us, the media. Then they went through this door and it was
Was it at T-Mobile or where was it at?
No, it was at the Hard Rock Hotel. Yeah, so they had like combining rooms.
Oh, that's a
small
venue, though.
Yeah, it was fairly small, but the fans were electric. And then Ovi got to walk through with the cup.
I was going to say the cup was there, obviously.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I have so many selfies and pictures of that thing, but it was such an electric night. And yeah, they really involved the fans quite a bit into it. So, and the players all signed autographs. And like I said, you can go on their Instagram and just see everything that they were doing. So. Really special. We've got the free agency coming up July 1st. So, again, we're going to – what do you think about Tavares? How do you think that's going to land?
Tavares, God. I mean, I definitely think Trotz signing with the Islanders helps.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants a coach that went and won a Stanley Cup.
Right.
You got one.
Yeah.
Like, there you go. I mean, what player wouldn't want that?
Right.
And I think the Islanders, you know, they're poised to do a lot of good things.
Sure.
So I definitely think that's a reason to stay.
Yeah.
But
the talk of the free agency is definitely Tavares. They want to know what's happening with him. So – yeah, we're going to see what's happening with that. Kovacek also signed with the LA Kings. That is huge. Russian player, 2018 Olympics MVP.
Go Kings.
That is going to be huge for the Kings. So Kovacek's on a 3-year with them. So much news. Yeah.
Well, switching to award season, so to speak, the NBA had their awards last night. And I think a lot of it was pretty much a given. Like, yeah, you kind of know. And it's funny because they're saying that some of the guys weren't sure if they won or not. But I was told they already kind of know who's going to win because then they know not to show up or show up, except for Rookie of the Year, which has been, you know, something somewhat controversial all season long because, as we know, Ben Simmons won, but is he really a rookie? You know, that's the big talk is he was out his first real rookie year. I guess you want to call it like a red shirt type of thing, right? Where he got injured and then now he wins it and dominates in his sophomore type season.
Okay.
And so I don't know. So I don't know if you saw, but Donovan Mitchell, we have a picture of it. He showed up in a car, which I thought was hilarious.
Was it the,
it says rookie.
The rookie car?
And rookie I just thought it was funny because it's like, he's actually kind of digging at the fact that he, you know, kind of feels like he's the real, you know, rookie. And, you know, being said that Ben Simmons did, I mean, like I said, he did, you know, dominate and he had 12 triple doubles. I mean, he passed Magic Johnson, you know, kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And Oscar Robertson is the only person who he, you know, is number one in that. But I thought it was just kind of crazy. I mean, his Simmons had 21. He averaged 21, 15.8 points from the field, 8.1 boards, 8.2 assists in his rookie year. Not too bad.
Eight, which is first year injured, first year actually playing the game. Right. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. But there is, you know, there is that, well, we've been going back and forth. I mean, Becky, you remember the beginning of the show, we started talking about, you know, our first show, you know, Rookie of the Year, like Ben Simmons or Donovan Mitchell, you know, or even like there were talks about Jason Tatum, you know, so there was a lot. But there is always going to be, I feel like, that asterisk of like, oh,
really,
were
though?
You really a rookie? Yeah, you should see, like, from the league, from the players to executives. Yeah.
Who would you have liked to have seen winning?
Especially Donovan Mitchell is what a lot of people
Oh, well, Donovan Mitchell. You know? Donovan Mitchell, I think, definitely deserves, like, a lot of praise.
Right.
He was second. I mean, he definitely deserves for what he did, for where he was picked, and what he's done with that team. I know Quinn Snyder was nominated for Coach of the Year, but Donovan Mitchell pretty much almost single-handedly. I know we had like guys like Gobert and Inglis, but it was really him taking that team. But then again, he just couldn't match up to who, by NBA rule, is a rookie.
Right.
By rule. And NBA rules also give the awards. So by rules, Ben Simmons wins Rookie of the Year easily. Even though, I mean, if you, because you have to look at them as rookies. Mm-hmm. And if you look at them as rookies, Ben Simmons wins. If you don't,
and you look at Ben Simmons, I mean, his size, the way he handles the ball, and his speed, I mean, he's pretty badass, you know. But you look at Donovan Mitchell, and he did fill a great role, you know, in Utah, as you know, especially he didn't really hit a wall, you know, which is very you know, rare. Normally rookies hit a wall. So, I mean, again, like, I'm just trying to stir the pot, but it is interesting to see, you know, what people are saying in the NBA that they do not feel that this was a true rookie.
Sure.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a real tough debate because if you go by what the law says or what the rules say, then yeah, Ben Simmons is a rookie. He deserved the award. But if you want to go by, and I think that's just kind of the debate for both sides. Well, Donovan Mitchell, you can say, oh, this was his first year. He obviously deserves it. Ben Simmons' side, you can say, which I firmly am on, is that Ben Simmons technically is a rookie. He did not play basketball last year for the Philadelphia 76ers, as this is his first technical season playing basketball, as it's his first season as a rookie.
Right.
Only season as a rookie, because you can't have a second season as a rookie. I shouldn't have said that, because then people are going to come at me like that.
No, I'm with you on it. I just think if you look on social media, a lot of people, and it's not just Jazz fans, a lot of people are upset with the fact that
people
they feel
like Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, they do. They love them. And you look at, you know, the flip side, there's a kind of, you know, a bunch of little things that I thought were interesting with the NBA Awards. So Dwayne Casey, who was the coach of the Toronto Raptors, God. I thought it was a little uncomfortable speech. I mean, because I don't know if you
That's
saw,
all of it
but he's like, it was funny because he goes, so I don't know if you all know, but I was fired.
Yeah.
And the way he said it was like a little bit of a dig,
Oh, sure.
But at the same time, you know, it's just interesting, I think, personally, that he's the one who won. Just because of all the dynamics and everything, it just,
I think it's hilarious.
I hear his coach of the year, but I got fired. It's like this weird oxymoron. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think in the background too, the Raptors, you know, are obviously like, did we mess up? I don't know. I just wonder.
Yeah, so, you did, Raptors.
And so if people who don't know, for the NBA Awards, what they do is everyone has tables and each team gets a table. So I don't know if you saw. So Dwayne Casey's sitting like at that table, the Raptors. But do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean,
just the whole thing. He's not on the Raptors anymore. He got fired after leading them to the best record in the East and winning Coach of the Year.
I mean, I guess that's pretty epic though to win Coach of the Year under that circumstance.
I mean, that's the biggest middle finger to the Raptors. Yeah, right. I think they're
the biggest middle fingers. Yeah. I know. How? Okay, you got to admit, Bill Russell giving the finger to Charles Barkley was hilarious. No, that's not it. That's another time. But he likes to do that. That just shows that he likes to do it. But
that so was great. Amazing.
But Bill Russell gives Charles Barkley the finger, and then later he put on Twitter, "Hey, I didn't know we're on live TV, but I can't help myself when I see Charles Barkley."
Yeah, he said, "If I see Chuck, that's what I got to do.
I just want to give him the finger."
So good. There it is.
There it is.
Oh, God. But look at his face. He's like, I mean, I don't know. I just thought it was hilarious.
Oh, man. There were some good moments for sure.
But yeah, that's, you know, it's just something that, you know, people are going to talk about is like, you know, Dwayne Casey, like, gets Coach of the Year but fired. Yeah. And there's so many other coaches that
who
people
votes?
Wonder. Brad,
like,
Brad Stevens possibly could have been, you know.
I think Brad Stevens deserved it.
I actually think he would have been the best pick personally. And then you look at like, oh, you know, Coach Lou or Coach Kerr, who are in the finals, they don't even get nominated. You know, there's so many different factors that go into the, you know, the entire season.
Are these fan votes? Who picks Coach of the Year?
No, they've got, you know, everything from the executives to media.
That's how NHL is too.
Yeah, it's very...
It's kind of a everything.
Conglomerate. Yeah, for sure.
When it comes, like, percentages of what they grow, you know, they'll say, like, oh, you're the fan vote.
Yeah. Like the GMs in hockey vote on the Vezina, the best goaltender. And you always kind of think, I don't know if I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, so we got MVP James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
So all season long we've known, you know, he's just been dominating. Mm-hmm. But, again, and me, you know, of all people, LeBron James is always in the conversation with MVP. And a lot of people said he should have won because taking the team to the NBA playoffs under turmoil – that, you know, there's so many factors. What is the MVP? You know, is it, you know what I mean? Is it like making your team better? Is it being able to carry the whole team on your back? Is it individual statistics? Yeah. Like, what is it?
I mean,
and I, you know, I don't have the answers for that, but it, you know what I mean? But it's interesting to,
first of
to see
all,
how it, you know, panned out.
Yeah, first of all, MVP, not playoffs. I understand that he took
the team
to the playoffs.
But isn't it funny how so many people don't know? They'll say, like, wait, it should be, you know.
It's not playoffs.
I agree.
It should be LeBron James, and they'll, like, not know that playoffs are not in the mix for any sport. They're not in there. But there are other people that could have, you know, you could, you know, mention
LeBron,
if you start talking about, like, playoffs. But a whole season long, you know, individual statistics, James Harden killed it.
But you can give it to LeBron every year, though. That's the thing.
Yes.
He's always in the conversation, and he's never not going to be in the conversation. You could always – he's the safest bet for MVP every year.
Right.
But the safe bet isn't always the best one. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's like a two or a three, but I definitely think Anthony Davis deserved to be where he was. And I think James Harden –
I love AD.
Oh, me too. I think James Harden deserves it way more than anyone. Look at – I mean, if you look at the playoffs.
And look at
I'm
how
kidding.
Many times James Harden was right there and then Steph won it. And then, you know, he kind of was that
second.
Yeah,
this was his year for sure.
And he said, I don't know if I'm buying this, but he said that he didn't have a speech really prepared because he wasn't sure if he was actually going to win.
Over who?
And I was like, I don't know, but that suit you're wearing, it looked pretty much like you knew you were going to be on stage.
Like you knew you were going to be accepting. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Like... Yeah, LeBron could win it every year, but...
But they don't give it to LeBron every year, because why would they give it to LeBron every year? That's not interesting or
Well, how do you guys feel about his comment about not needing anything else on the team to win next year? Like, he believes that they're ready to go and they're stacked. What is your thoughts on that comment? That's a pretty bold statement.
David, I'll let you take it first.
Yeah, that might be a little... I definitely think that he's right. I definitely think if they keep doing what they're doing, maybe add just different pieces. Maybe the talent level can be the same, but it's just different pieces. Maybe a better three-point shooter or someone who can defend better. But, I mean, it kind of feels like a little sly, like, because, you know, Houston's still going after LeBron.
Yeah, but also...
Which is like, oh, we don't need anything
CP3
else.
CP3 is injury prone, even from the Clippers. Like,
it's amazing the contract that CP3 wants, though. Like... I'm sorry. I don't know if I want
but
to see.
But is he reliable?
Do I want to see Chris Paul in a jersey at 37? Like, I don't know if he's going to be able to, like, you know what I mean? Like,
by the time he's done with his max contract, he's going to be too old to do anything
for
a team.
We all know in every sport, the guys that get the five-year deal, and you see them all the time, and, you know, the pitchers, and then all of a sudden you're going, God, you know, cut your losses. But the team doesn't want to, you know, so they'll continue to play him. They continue to force the issue because the money, and then it just doesn't pan out. I mean, there's maybe, what, a couple here and there that work, but think about it. A lot of it has to do with even like, loyalty, you know, even with Kobe, like loyalty to the player. This is what we're going to give you. We want you to retire, you know.
There's a lot of times, though, giving a max contract, giving a huge contract to a player doesn't work. Just ask, just ask Chandler Parsons. Ask Chandler Parsons.
And a younger kid, I can get, I get it. There's an upside potential, but I just, I have a problem with, you know, a veteran, especially, you know, an older veteran that, I hate to say it, but, you know, in your 30s, you're already considered
old.
Yeah, sports.
I mean, of
course. Sure. And 37 years old, 38.
Well, and again, his injuries or his injuries.
You're
his
a role player, but are you going to be contributing like you did, you know, 5 years ago? No.
Well, why do you think the Clippers didn't offer him such a huge contract? Because they knew, okay, by the time this max is done, this five-year max, he's going to be in his late mid-30s. We don't want a player like that stuck under contract. We know, and because we know that players are going to get injured every year. If you look at the Clippers' history, all right, if you just take a little, a short dive back, you'll see.
This is your soapbox when it comes to Clippers.
You'll see one every around December. I didn't even have to check the news. If it was December, Blake Griffin was hurt. That's how December worked. And by the time January rolled around, they were okay. And somewhere in that little area, definitely the playoffs. Don't forget about the playoffs.
2016. Let's remember
Chris Paul hurt. Injured. Something. His
And this one too. It's always a hamstring. And I hate hamstring injuries. I can't. They frustrate me. Because you just should not. Have a hamstring injury. That means that you're not stretching. It means you're not, you know what I mean?
It's like a very juvenile injury.
And it's something that you can't do anything. You just have to rest. And it's something that the Clippers know is that Chris Paul, and I'm not like, you know, starting anything, but everyone knows that he was part of the problem why that dynamic did not work. Because Chris Paul and DeAndre and Blake could not get along. And it was always Chris Paul.
It's just, it takes me back. And I know I've talked about it so many times before. I don't know if I've talked about it here, but I talk about this everywhere. It takes me back to this, just, it's this video of CP and DJ has the ball, and it's the end of the game, and the Clippers are down by, I think, one or two. DeAndre has the ball with about I can't remember, but it was less than a second left. DJ has the ball, he's right under the basket, and it's just Chris Paul staring at him, like, put up the shot, screaming at him in his face, and then DJ's just standing there like, I thought the game was over, I thought the clock expired. It was just, you could tell from that point that the dynamic was not good, the chemistry was not there, and that this team wouldn't do anything because they couldn't get past that hump.
We have Ashley already?
You do!
Hi, Ash, hey. How are you?
How are you?
Good. You look pretty and gorgeous, as always.
Thank you. I have headphones on.
You can't see us, but we can see you.
Oh, yeah, I can't see you guys. I see, I don't know who that is, but hi.
So we got Becky and David here as well, my co-hosts. We were just talking a little bit about the NBA awards. I don't know if you watched those last night.
I did.
And, you know, just interesting about Rookie of the Year. And, you know, what is your, you know, we'll jump right into it, Ashley. What are your thoughts on Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons? Ben Simmons being a true rookie, even though he did get hurt his first true year. What are your thoughts on him stealing that award?
You know, he earned it. He had a great season with the Sixers. But one thing that I do want to mention as I'm getting ready for my show that I'm doing in a couple minutes after this is the fact that, you know, he kind of did not perform the way I wanted to see him against the Celtics. He did have 1 point in one of those games. And it's just interesting, even not even talking about those. Can you hear me?
No, we're talking about, but you know, we were talking about, but it's never about the playoffs. It's about the regular season.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
But isn't that funny, though, that you always want to kind of consider that as well, playoffs, but unfortunately, they don't include that.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. It's kind of going in and out for some reason.
Can you hear me now? I feel like the Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of the times, you know, people want to say that playoffs should be a factor, which I believe so as well. But, you know, you could make the case for MVP with James Harden, LeBron, and what you're talking about with Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons.
I enjoyed it. I mean, and that's the crazy thing is why these awards need to be done right after the regular season is the fact that all the hype is going on right then and there.
Right.
And then you see the coach of the year, he gets fired, but he gets the award for coach of the year. You see an MVP who, two MVPs who don't make it into their conference finals the way that Jason Tatum did.
Right.
And those two win it. And then you see an MVP who once again can't make it to his conference finals and gets, you know, beaten by the Warriors. So it's just kind of interesting to see how that works. I really hope that they do change it. But again, Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, it was very close. They both deserved it. I enjoyed them kind of just, you know, brushing all of it off at the end. They both, you know, they congratulated each other, gave each other a hug. So I think that was a nice little touch. It was genuine. So it's just, it's all for fun. You know, when they're talking back and forth, it's all fun. But Donovan Mitchell definitely made a case, and he did what I don't think most people thought he was going to do this season. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, Ben Simmons, he deserved it. He's an all-around great player, not just, I mean, he needs to work on his jump shot, obviously, but he's pretty good with everything else in terms of being down low, passing to his teammates. So he's one of those guys that I'm really excited to see down the road.
What did you think about James Harden and his speech? You know, he said, Ashley, he wasn't prepared because he didn't know he was going to win. But with that suit and, you know, bringing mom on stage, I kind of think he knew he was going to get that award.
He knew. I think everyone knew. Right. I mean, LeBron James knew because he didn't even show up
exactly.
to those awards. So everyone knew it was James Harden. His whole team was there to support him. So there was no doubt in my mind that he didn't know. I mean, he showed up the way he did, obviously, in great fashion. It was very interesting to see some of the fashion. They all kind of had the same mm-hmm. sort of trend and, like, tone to their outfits. I thought it was actually really interesting. But James Harden knew. And then that brings me to my next point is the Oklahoma City Thunder had three guys who were MVPs
yes,
now.
They
and
did.
James Harden was also sixth man of the year.
I know.
So, wow. I mean, I don't know if there's something I'm missing here, if they're choosing the wrong guy to move forward with, not to mention Victor Oladipo. They also took him away to get PG-13,
yep.
So who won most improved player. So that was just, I'm kind of wondering what they're doing. They're probably scratching their heads right now. Like, did we make the right choice with Russell Westbrook? But all in all, James Harden knew, and he deserved it. He really did. He balled out this season. He really did.
And speaking of the Thunder, PG, like, does he stay in Oklahoma City, or does he take his talents to L.A.? Like, there's so many things to discuss here. He knows what he gets, right, Ashley, when he's staying with the Thunder.
Yeah.
Does he want that same team, or does he want to try and, you know, take it somewhere else?
This is what I think what's going to happen. I think, you know, LeBron's probably going to opt out on Friday. And I think everyone's kind of just waiting to see, like, what LeBron wants to do.
I know.
Trying to figure out, okay, like, who's going to go where. And with Paul George, you do kind of know what you're going to get. And Melo's staying there. I'm not too impressed with Melo right
now.
I'm not
a Melo fan at all.
Too stubborn to come off the bench. There's a lot of different elements going on within that organization that I feel like Paul George is kind of like, do I really want to stay there? But then the Lakers, I mean, they're still up and coming. They still got work to do, but I trust Magic Johnson to be able to turn that thing around over there. But depending on what they can get. So they're going to have to figure out certain trades, obviously. And who are they going, if Paul George goes there, and let's say LeBron goes there, or whoever, Kawhi, which mm-hmm. I don't think is going to happen anymore. It just depends who else they're going to try to bring there and then who they're going to get rid of. So this is the most exciting part about basketball. I mean, the finals were kind of a disappointment. The playoffs were. But this offseason has been nothing but drama, and it's just been so exciting to watch.
And PG, I mean, L.A. would be home for him, Ashley. So that's, you know, when he wanted to leave Indiana, that was another time that he said, I'd love to go to Lakerland. Mm. And the Lakers do have the money, as we know. Mm-hmm. But does he want to go to a team that is young, but still has to, let's give him two more seasons.
They've
got
a lot to do in
Right,
LA.
They have a lot to do. And does he want to do that?
They do. You know,
I would actually love to see him back in a Pacers uniform. I'll be honest with you. To see him back with the Pacers and how well, I mean, that team's already, I mean, look how that's the one team that could have actually stopped
Cleveland.
We're
in for a treat next season.
You're right. Mm-hmm. And to see him in a Pacers uniform, actually.
I think so. I mean, I don't think he's going
to
go back there.
I know,
but
it'd be neat to see that.
The Pacers are another team. you know, they got rid of my boy Lance Stephenson. Like, he's been so loyal to that organization, and they decided to not keep him. So that was kind of upsetting. And then Paul George obviously made a statement about that saying, oh, I'm the bad guy for wanting to leave this organization to go and play for the Thunder. So I think that's just another element, is that these guys need to make decisions of what works best for them. Mm-hmm. And if Paul George wants to go to LA and he wants to be a part of the rebuilding process, unless they can get some other guys there, that's going to be totally his decision. Obviously home for him. There's a lot of things to really think about right now, but, you know, who knows? Oklahoma City Thunder could maybe make a push for it, but you can't be losing the first round of the playoffs to Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz, then that just can't happen again.
Yeah, right. No, they had a super team and they just kind of blew it, which was a terrible thing. I mean, you know, speaking of the beginnings of building a super team, we had the NBA draft on Thursday, which the Suns had the first pick, and they picked, of course, DeAndre Ayton. What are your thoughts on that?
I love it. Well, I'm a little biased.
You're friends with him.
So it's automatically not fair. But, you know, I have covered this guy. I had him in my studio, actually, right when the NCAA tournament had ended. You know, he left Arizona, and he came out here to, you know, stay with his mom for a little bit because they were here even before he decided to go to Arizona. Phoenix was kind of like home besides the Bahamas where he's from. But I thought it was a great pick. I mean, you can't pass DeAndre Ayton, and the Suns loved him. Talking with, you know, the GM, Ryan McDonough, he was blown away by his workouts. I mean, compared to some of these other guys, I mean, you got Marvin Bagley, you got Mo Bamba, you got Jaren Jackson, who all came in for workouts, who are all strong big men. Who can obviously play the game, but DeAndre Ayton is one guy that really blew them away during the workouts, and he's a guy that can perform right away. He's strong, his athleticism, his size. He does kind of remind me of like a true center, even though he didn't really play that position in college. He was more of a power forward. So it will be interesting to see the dynamic of what they decide to use him as. But as you know, that the NBA is kind of like a positionless style of basketball now, where these bigs can go to the perimeter and shoot threes, or they can defend the perimeter. So I think his experience playing power forward kind of gives them a little bit more versatility with him to be able to play him at a four or five. So I thought it was a great pickup. He's going to play very well with Devin. He's already friends with a lot of those teammates now. Devin, Josh Jackson, I know they've been friends.
I really think that Ashley, that Devin Booker and Josh Jackson, that's really going to complement them. You almost got that 1-2 punch now, with especially with Devin Booker.
You do. The Shaq and Kobe.
Yes, it is. Exactly.
Well, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Becky Ashley. Now, I want to know, who are you most surprised with? I mean, this was a pretty heavy draft pick. Who do you think is going to impact their team the most? I know we just talked about the Suns, but who did you really like?
Well, obviously DeAndre Ayton, but Mo Bamba.
Yeah.
I'm big on Mo Bamba.
Hook 'em horns.
He is a beast, a 7'10" wingspan, and he's been working on that 3-point shot.
Yeah.
Kind of scary. He's going to be alongside Aaron Gordon, which is going to be really fun. You know, that guy likes to dunk. And then, you know, Mo Bamba is obviously all about his dunking. But, you know, something that a lot of these bigs do kind of have that's kind of similar is defensively they're not super strong, but their game offensively is damn near perfect if you look at it from what they can bring. Very, you know, versatile style big men. But defensively is kind of a question mark, but I think that Mo Bamba, his ceiling is off the charts. If you go back and look at some of his highlights, his dunks, it's just unreal. Quick reaction times, his awareness on the floor. He's an outstanding rebounder. He could do anything. And his shot blocking instincts, I mean, if you like a nice shot blocking, he's the guy to be on the lookout for. At Summer League, that's something we're going to see a lot of.
He's got that wingspan, I mean, for sure. But I was just wondering what you thought about him. I mean, a lot of people thought he would go, you know, five to Dallas, but they picked Trae Young,
yeah, that
made
was my
that
question
whole
too.
Trade for Luka, and he went, and I'm just scared. Do you think he's going to go the same way of Jonathan Isaac last year? A good college player that got picked by the Magic and has just kind of fallen into nothingness, like Mario Hezonja as well.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think a 7'10" guy or a 7'10" wingspan type guy can really not be able to have his game translate into the NBA. I mean, he converted 74% of his shots at the rim in college. Didn't really have a ton of teammates that were very good. So just imagine when he's with some guys who've already been there, done that in the NBA, being able to facilitate him the ball, being able to stretch out the floor. You know, the college game is a little bit different than the NBA. And I think that some of these guys can actually translate their game. And Mo Bamba is one of those. I don't have any concern about him. I mean, just watching him, the workouts I've been seeing getting posted, his working on that 3-point shot. And he's also so smart.
I know. His interviews.
So
he is so articulate, so smart. I mean, I was like blown away by his interviews.
He is. And he really explained, you know, how he changed, you know, the mechanics of his shot. He explained like what he calls this angle. And then I think he moved it from like a 120 to like 105 degree angle or something like that. I have the interview actually up on my Instagram, but he was talking about that. And I just thought it was like, just interesting. You know, most guys probably just go through the motions like, okay, this is what I got to work on. He's actually like, no, like I want to understand why we are changing certain parts of my game like that. Because that's hard when you're shooting a certain way your entire career and you come in and you say to yourself, yo, like I need to make some changes if I want to make it in this game. And we all know that shooting is a big component of the NBA now. You can't just be so down low. You got to be able to shoot. Give him credit for that.
Now, Ashley, the Suns, you know, they had that aggressive trade for Villanova star Bridges. Did you have any – I know you like him too. What did you hear from the Suns organization about him before? Did you know that they were going after him, or is he someone that was kind of lined up on their draft board?
To be honest, I think everyone was pretty shocked. I do know that they did want him in terms of what he brought to his team before that, like at Villanova. You know, Ryan McDonough did talk a little bit about that. He didn't really know what he wanted. They were trying to trade up to get an earlier pick, and it just didn't fall into place that way. Because he was talking about how stressful it was after they chose DeAndre. They knew, like, we're going with DeAndre. Everyone knew.
Right.
And then they tried to, you know, trade down. They couldn't. So I think they made a really good deal with the Sixers to get Mikal Bridges. And he did talk about the fact that this dude won two national championships at Villanova. And I had asked him, you know, I said, what are you going to do to, you know, bring that style of mindset, that winning mentality to the Phoenix Suns? And, you know, he said, you know, most people don't understand like what it really takes to win, you know, to win two. You know, most people can't even say they've won one. And the fact that he won two, he's going to be bringing that style of mindset to the Phoenix Suns, which they need. And I think he's going to be able to turn it around. Because you saw what he did at Villanova. He might not be as big as some of these other guys who got drafted in the top five. But he's someone who's definitely versatile, can defend. He's good offensively. And he's not afraid to be out there and play. So I think it was definitely a good pickup for them.
How was the energy? You were at the Suns draft party. How was the energy? I mean, because y'all have really made some vast improvements that can make you guys now a playoff team, a contender. I'm sure everyone was just, it was a good night for the Suns.
It was a lot of fun, you know, watching everyone get so excited. It was the first time in history they had the number one pick. It was a long night, though. I mean, we were there from 3 o'clock until around like 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
so it was
it,
a
yeah.
long it's, night.
It is long.
Because the Suns had a ton of draft picks. I mean, I think their last draft pick was at 59th. So we had to wait for the press conference all the way through basically the whole draft. But it was really exciting. And I do think a lot of people were a little bit shocked with some of the picks at, what do they have, the number 31? Or was it 31 they had the pick? They chose the guy from France. I think that was a little bit of a shock. I was hoping that they would choose Jaylen. I thought that'd be really cool if they can bring in two Villanova guys. And I know that they were pretty high on Jaylen and Aaron Holiday. I think if Aaron Holiday might have still been there, they might have gone for him. He was one of those guys they really did like. I think they brought him back twice. So, yeah, the energy in there was obviously amazing. It was just so much fun to see the excitement of Suns fans, because that's something they really need to build in Phoenix is a culture. And that's why they chose DeAndre Ayton. And obviously, he's a great player. He's the best in the draft. They had to go with him. There was no doubt in my mind. But if you think about it from a marketing perspective, there is no better fit in this draft than a guy like DeAndre Ayton, who went to U of A. So they're going to, for games, they're going to bring people up from Tucson wanting to support him. He's lived out in Phoenix for the longest time from what I know from now. He played at high school here. He actually played against Marvin Bagley. So,
hometown
he's been out here.
People love the hometown kid, for sure.
They do, yes.
Well, we want to shift the attention onto you for a minute.
Okay.
How is it being a woman in a male-dominated industry? You obviously are very experienced, and I guess personally for myself, I just want to know, how do you keep yourself relevant? How do you keep yourself, you know, in this, again, when you're in this industry that's just so, you know, tough, if you will. What are your techniques for keeping yourself ahead of the game?
oh, I'm gonna have to warm up for this one.
girl power.
Yes, girl power. Exactly. You know, we had to ask you this, woo! Ashley.
It's, you know, we and you have talked about this before. It's, you know, pretty, it is difficult because not only are you expected to look good, but you better know just as much as everyone else and more. I mean, I think we are held to a higher standard,
yep,
or a higher expectation. If you mess up something, it's like, oh no, like she's a girl. Of course, you know, it's like one little slip up. It could be like just misspelling something or autocorrect. And, you know, they're on you about that. So, oh, she's a girl. She doesn't know anything. Or if I have an opinion that's different, they always have to say, oh, go back to the kitchen. So that kind of stuff is still there, unfortunately. But with me, I think it's just having thick skin. And I tell people this all the time is you're going to have people that don't like you regardless of what you do. And, it's just, you need to just know how to drown out the noise. And sometimes it's hard. I mean, there's been some hurtful things. There's been, people who just assume that I'm where I'm at because I do certain things. And that's another stereotype that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Because all the women that I've met in this industry have earned their right to be there. They've worked hard, endless hours, you know, working their way up. So yeah, it's difficult, but you know, staying relevant is being consistent with what you do, making sure you're constantly posting on, you know, social media has been a huge platform for me, is just being consistent, taking pictures, being in the studio, producing content, and just trying to just, you know, make your way and make connections. Relationships, I think, are the number one thing in this industry. And it can make or break you if you don't have, you know, those relationships, because that's where you get the jobs, is someone who refers you or someone who has faith in you, who's worked with you before, who knows someone. So relationships are so huge. And especially I think girls need to stick together a little bit more. And I feel that a lot of girls also tend to see each other as competition. And it's something I've ran into in recent weeks, is I'll walk in somewhere and I'll smile and say hi. And some girls will just, you know, kind of roll their eyes. And to me, like that's not okay. Like I know that it's competitive out there.
But there's enough space for all of us, because you and I spoke about this, Ashley. Like, we should be supporting each other, because there's enough space for all of us. And me and Ashley met, and we hit it off right away. We were introduced by Arash, actually, in Marchese.
Amazing.
But there's so many times where, I mean, she's not, you know, she's telling the truth, that there's a lot of women who will try to bring you down. Majority of the people that brought me down when I was the first female scout were females. They were not men.
That's what I'm saying. They're so, like you were saying about the stereotype, I don't get it, because you don't really see that with men. Maybe we do, but we don't. Yeah. It's not on the forefront, but it is with women. It's so competitive, and people are just
willing to be. But it doesn't have to be like that.
Because everyone has a voice. That's why I wanted to know your techniques, is that I think that's true. Really what sets women in this industry apart is, how do you do it? What are your techniques for being successful? And you clearly have done that. So thank you for sharing that with us so much.
Of course, I could talk about it all day. I have stories for days, and I'm sure you guys do too. It's hard, but you know, we all need to stick together for sure.
Yeah.
Now, Ashley, tell us where we can find you, and you know, so people can, you know, see all the great stuff you're doing. I know you're going to be at Summer League, and we'll be at Summer League, so we'll see you there. But but just, you know, people want to know, because you are very knowledgeable. You're great as a guest. So
Thank you. You
know, everyone where they can find you, and for people in the Arizona area as well.
Yeah, you can follow me at Ashley Neville on either Twitter or Instagram. I also have a YouTube channel. If you just, you know, type in Ashley, you could find the link on my Instagram page. Facebook at Ashley Neville, LinkedIn at Ashley Neville. You can't really go wrong. Just Ashley Neville.
Perfect.
Just make sure that the spelling is spelled right, because, it's pretty easy to find me.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, my friend. I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm excited for your sons. You know, I think it's a lot of, promising future now for
the Suns.
It's
going to be sunny in Phoenix this fall.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be hot out here.
And then we'll see you in Vegas, and we'll, you know, get a drink or go eat or something.
Of course. Okay. I would love that.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Okay, thanks, honey.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
She's awesome, huh?
Amazing.
She's great. Oh, my gosh. She's so great.
She's so level-headed. Get it, Neville? Level?
Ah! Oh, my God.
Where's the little
puns for days? Thanks for bringing her on. She was great.
Yeah, I just think, you know, it's important. And, David, you will agree with this. You know,
for sure.
But that it is important for us to highlight females on this show as well. I mean, me and Becky are obviously females, and it's good to show that they, you know, even though you would think, you know, we're in 2018, we're still paving the way for females to be able to not just be in sports industry, but actually be credible, knowledgeable, respected, and, you know, be able to kind of just don't see us any different. You know what I mean? It's just part of it's just part of the media.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very
or any sports. Front office. Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, I mean the whole kind of stereotype around sports throughout history, and it's still very much apparent, is sports. Sports is for guys. Yeah. Like, that's what a lot of people say. And then when girls try to come out and say, oh, like, I can talk sports too, then all the guys are like, well no, you can't. But yes, they can.
Right.
It's like a one-upmanship, you know? Yes. It just feels like no matter whether you're female or male, someone we have the females trying to one-up us in some other
And Becky, you know, I'm sure you've been in a bar where a guy's like jawing off, and then you start saying something, and he'll think, oh, you're a girl, you don't know anything, and then you'll just run him over, and then you're like...
Especially with hockey.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's amazing, you know, because there's just because you're a man doesn't mean that you know sports.
Oh, no.
But it is true what she said. If you do make a mistake as a female, it is magnified.
It's amplified. Yes, it's like one little tiny thing you say
but
wrong.
But guys... in the industry can make, I mean, because people they can make mistakes all day long, and it's fine.
I feel like it's shifting, though. I mean, I definitely, there's more and more women. I mean, there's more and more opportunities. I think that things are moving in the right direction.
I hope so. And I think it is still evolving and changing, but, you know, just like being at Radio Row at Super Bowl, like I would go through there, y'all, it was 5% females. Majority is all men. You know, it's still, and it's bad that I can say I'm just kind of used to seeing that, you know, but it should eventually start to change, and like she said, it's very much so is supporting each other because females tend to be more competitive than males. Yeah. That's the fact.
Yeah. Well, and it's like anything else in the entertainment industry. Everyone has a different look, a different personality, a different skill.
Different niche, everything. Yes. The way they deliver things, all, you know, it's completely different. But for some reason, females tend to very much so. Maybe because they think there's only... you know, X amount of jobs, there's not enough jobs for females. But I still just think
that that's exactly what it is. We're already just having to claw our way to get in. Once you get there, it's like, well, I don't want... it's territorial, for sure.
I mean, you can look at it in the sports broadcasting world, but also in just, like, the main sports world. I mean, teams like the Spurs. You got Becky Hammond.
Right.
Coming up, could be the first female head coach.
Which is, and I love her.
Which is amazing. And she's... the thing is, she's so knowledgeable, and she's been in the same organization as Pop, who is probably one of the greatest coaches of all time.
And if Pop's going to hire you, what does that tell you?
She knows the game so well, and she has such a great coaching IQ.
Right.
And could be... possibly one of the best coaches.
I would love
like
to see
coach
her
of the year.
That would be groundbreaking, and it, it's going to happen.
It would show people too that they can do it just as well.
And
as
even
guys
female refs, though, they get a lot of.
They get a, I mean,
gosh,
you know the Chris Paul stuff.
Remember?
Even
so, truth be told, even though there's even the refs, they get it. I mean, I think they actually get it worse than, like,
they
anyone.
Get it from the players. Absolutely.
Because the players don't, they don't think they're credible.
No.
They go,
And remember LeVar Ball getting on that ref? I mean, and it starts to turn and shift, and it's...
well, so we've just identified why we have to claw our way into this world, because it's just, it's about the credibility, and that's why I wanted to ask her, like, how does she stay relevant and credible, because that's just so much about what we as journalists have to try to... always do at every point, you know?
Right, and you experience it when you're even on the red carpet, right? When you're trying if you're a man, a man's next to you and you're trying to get an interview, it's kind of like, oh...
I'm the kind of person, though, even at the NHL Awards, like, I made friends with the Washington NBC guy next to me. It was a male. And I made friends with him. And I just think that part of it is just who you are. Like, I don't go on to the attack, you know?
Neither
when I'm in these environments...
I try to make friends with everyone.
Yes, I introduce myself. Yeah. And that's why when she talked about networking, I was like, that's so true. Networking is everything.
It's everything. And I know, you know, it's not fair maybe in certain situations, but I'm not saying you're going to get the job, but it opens doors. If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of it. I mean, and it's not just with us. You know, think about a coaching staff. When a guy is, you know, gets the new head coach for an organization, who do you think he hires? His friends.
Sure.
He hires his friends, his group. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the assistants who are, you know, currently in that position know, oh, he's going to bring in his own people. Yeah. I mean, everything is about relationships, favors. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
and it just being relatable. I mean, like I said, I just had such a good experience with, like, Ovi's publicist on the carpet because I remember being in that moment like, oh, should I ask? But I was like, no, I'm going to ask. You know, I think it's just you conversate, you ask, you talk. And
you know what? The worst thing they can say is no, so just be aggressive.
Yeah.
I always tell females, just go after it. And, be aggressive and hustle. Yeah. Like, you grind. Even to this day, I still grind. You have to. And you can never get complacent.
Yeah.
You know, in anything, you know, the minute you get complacent, because there's someone on your tail.
Somebody will take that job.
So you got, you know, there's a lot of females we know that are in higher positions and who are on air, and they'll get complacent, and all of a sudden you don't see them anymore.
Yeah. But I mean, you're a perfect testament to that, too. You've had some really unfortunate things happen to you being a female in this industry.
Right.
And you created your own content. You have your own show now, and it's just growing and growing. And I mean, it's just, it's, you're an inspiration already to so many people. And I just, it makes my heart happy because yeah, women,
it's good.
Are,
it's
women
nice
are hustling.
So we've got me and Becky and then and David. So it's like, David, it's like the perfect chemistry. But yeah, it was great. So, you know, I think like you said, we're going to continue to have our guests and our, even our bigger guests when we make our big announcement. Yeah. But it is nice to get a female perspective every now and then. I don't want to like, you know, kind of think that they're different, but it is nice just to have that
different
kind of
sure.
Variety on our show.
Yeah.
Our
live chat loved her too. Thanks guys for tuning in here.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we go, one thing I do want to talk about is Kawhi.
Let's talk Kawhi.
Before, because I know we only have a couple minutes, but Kawhi did meet with Pop a week ago, and I was told from inside sources that it didn't go well. It didn't go like they thought it was going to go. Sure. And it was more of a formality to, you know, coach and, you know, player, disgruntled player to meet. And I think after the words that Pop said and Tony Parker said about the injury and how he kind of took his rehab outside the organization and so forth, I just think it's, you know, when you can just tell that the relationship is just kind of...
It's going to be cut.
It's just, yeah. You could, I mean,
it's done.
You could tell when he was nursing that quad injury. Like, you could tell
that
relationship.
We all know. And as a player, you know, I've always really respected. I think he's the best, one of the best two-way players in the game. I think the minute he was nursing that, we all know he's one of those players that wouldn't normally, you know, he wouldn't do that.
No, because he's such a humble, good person.
Right.
And to do something like that, it's... You know, it says something. Like he wants something, and he wants out. He's made it very clear that he wants out, and the Spurs have made it very clear that they're either going to keep him or he's going to go to the Eastern Conference.
Right. I'm interested to see again. It's like always about Lakers. It's like Paul George, Lakers, LeBron, Lakers,
shut,
Kawhi.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's all
conversations down with the Lakers. It shut them down.
Yeah.
Well,
for me, it's like How would you not want to play under Pop? Like, I just don't get it. I just, but why also do you want to keep a player there if he's so disenfranchised? It's only just going to toxify the players and the team.
If they keep him, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. You have to move on. You have to find your new player. Maybe a guy like DeJounte Murray could help. I know LaMarcus Aldridge is still doing his thing. He's getting up there in age, though.
Right.
They just,
I mean, could LeBron go to the Spurs? I mean, before
we
were talking about that this morning.
I mean, LeBron. Likes basketball IQ. Yeah. Pop's
we
got
will
the best
find
one
out
I've seen.
On Friday. Isn't he? He's making. Did you guys hear that he's making his announcement on Uninterrupted? Also,
Space Jam.
Then he's going to have his movie premiere.
I don't want to even talk about the Space Jam 2 because you cannot do Space Jam again.
Okay, but you also can't...
I mean, you're too young, David, to know, but Space Jam was like my life.
Believe
and like,
me, yeah. I with, know Space Jam very
well. Michael
well.
Jordan will not be watching that, for sure.
And
he will not be.
With Michael Jordan, I mean, you just can't... You know, there's certain films you can't redo.
I just also think, like, this is a serious moment. Like, you're changing the 2018-19 season of basketball, depending on where he falls, and you're going to follow it up with his movie premiere trailer. I don't know. It's just everything...
That's why Lakerland seems so perfect, right? Let's go to
That's
Lakers, and
saying.
Then let's walk down the red carpet
Oh,
anyway.
It makes me sick. Right. There's just so many antics in business and politics.
I mean, it was opened up from last year. This whole free agent thing, free agency thing. KD went to the Warriors, and everyone else was like, the next year, like, oh, I got to do something. You saw the super teams form it, and now it's only going to get crazier. And I'm so excited for this offseason.
I
have
too.
No idea.
I mean, this free agency offseason is actually more exciting than
I know. I just want
some
Friday
of the playoff games and NBA finals
than the finals.
Interesting. Well, okay, we will be back again next week, same time, same place. You can find me at BJ Laughlin on Twitter and at Bonnie Jill on Instagram and Facebook, and Becky Sotero.
Yes, Becky
David
Sotero.
H. Bloom. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Until next time, we'll be talking a lot more sports, and we'll see you.
Nice, Marissa.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.